Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Monday, March 3rd. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news stories from around Wyoming. Across the country, people are protesting the Trump administration's slashing of the federal workforce. Jackson Hole Community Radio's Sophia Boyd Flegel reports gateway towns near popular public lands are reeling.
Who's going to stop me from petting the bison? This question on wildlife guide Chris Kassar's protest sign, as she says, is no joke, as national park staff in nearby Grand Teton and Yellowstone help keep tourists in check.
People get really excited and don't understand how to behave exactly around wild animals, and you see all kinds of things.
Kassar was one of about 200 people on Jackson's Town Square Saturday. They were protesting layoffs and a hiring freeze of public lands employees. As of last week, the parks can hire seasonal workers, but it remains unclear on how many. John still does wildfire patrol for Caribou Targhee National Forest and declines to give his last name for fear of retaliation. National forests have laid off thousands of employees. John drove 2 hours from Idaho Falls because
a lot of my coworkers have been unlawfully terminated. They were good employees.
The 32-year-old said everyone on his crew played a role in fighting wildfire. For KHOL News, I'm Sophia Boyd-Flegel.
Similar protests and rallies were held at national parks on Saturday over the recent firings of the Federal Forest Service workers. This includes the country's first national park, Yellowstone, and Grand Teton National Park. Yellowstone Public Radio's Ruth Eddy reports.
Gathered under the Roosevelt Arch at the park's north entrance, rallygoers showed support for federal public lands and recently fired employees. Richard Midget was hired in December to work in information technology for Yellowstone National Park, but was among those fired last month. He helped organize the rally.
We're not just protecting our parks for the next 100 years. We're trying to protect our parks for generations and generations more.
Rallygoers say they worry that the effects will ripple beyond the parks to the communities that rely on the over $600 million spent each year by Yellowstone visitors. I'm Ruth Eddy in Gardner.
Governor Mark Gordon has signed over 80 bills as the legislature's last scheduled day looms on Thursday. On Friday, the governor signed a bill that will add the words "not a U.S. citizen" to Wyoming driver's licenses belonging to non-citizens. It's meant to provide clarity in elections since legal residents cannot vote. Secretary of State Chuck Gray has championed the bill. And Gordon let a bill pass into law without his signature. The new law invalidates driver's licenses issued by other states to people in the country without legal status. The governor is, however, concerned about the potential unintended consequences regarding a multi-state compact that makes interstate travel easier. This is the first bill to become law that was part of the Freedom Caucus's Five and Dime plan. A bill about pronouns became law without Governor Gordon's signature last week. The law prohibits the state government and its branches from requiring its employees to use co-workers' preferred pronouns. That includes county governments and public schools. Under the law, the state cannot refuse to hire someone or fire them if that employee refuses to use someone else's preferred pronouns. The law will go into effect on July 1st. Two bills in the Wyoming legislature focused on health failed to move past their Senate committee. One would have made it easier to donate blood to oneself or a family member. Those opposed testified that the bill is an unnecessary interference into healthcare systems that already manage medically approved direct donations. The other would have banned any organization that receives state or federal subsidies from refusing service to someone based on their COVID-19 masking, testing, or vaccination status. Those opposed voiced concern about the broad definition of subsidies and that the bill could put facilities like nursing homes in a difficult spot during an outbreak. State Representative J.R. Riggins of Casper has returned to the House floor after experiencing cardiac problems earlier in the session. Riggins credited his hospital to get him in and out of the hospital so quickly, adding that it was just fantastic. Riggins said he had a stress test, angioplasty, and a bypass. According to Riggins, the entire medical event lasted 10 days. During that time, he was able to vote remotely on the floor, but not in committee. His return was received with a standing ovation by all present members of the House of Representatives on Thursday. And now let's hear from Ivy Engel with some lighter stories from around Wyoming.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on March 2, 1967, three leather-bound volumes containing maps of the Basin Municipal Water System were rediscovered. They were from 1910 and 1911 and were discovered after being missing for many decades. Children were playing with them. On March 3, 1916, a spinster convention was held in Gillette. On March 4, 1886, Governor Francis Warren signed the bill authorizing the construction of the Wyoming Capitol Building. Contractors broke ground in September of that same year. On March 5, 1889, Mrs. Ada E. Allen opened a type of private school known as a subscription school. It was the first school in Casper. On March 5, 1895, the first refinery in Wyoming began operations, also in Casper. On March 7, 1870, the world's first female jurors were seated in Laramie, Wyoming territory. On March 7, 1890, an Illinois congressman vowed to fight Wyoming's statehood as long as the state's constitution contained women's suffrage. Obviously, Wyoming still became a state. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And now for today's trivia question, who was Wyoming's first recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor? Send us your answers for trivia questions to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com. We'll crown winners next Monday. That's it for today. Thanks for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Join me again tomorrow. And remember to subscribe to get Wyoming Debrief automatically downloaded to your phone and start your day on an informed foot. While you're there, please consider leaving us a review so that other people can find us.